Welcome back to the Grandstand, episode 24. P Money here in Paris, and we've got F Knowles in my hometown in the south of France in Biarritz. What's going on?
Yeah, dude, weird. We're like, you're just gonna pretend to be you all weekend because that would totally work.
Yeah, I think the only combination we haven't done yet is you in Paris and me in New York, or have we?
I think we have actually. I think like maybe yeah. At some point we've done it. But who knows?
Just a bunch of traveling F1 goons. Nerds.
Yeah. Oh, speak for yourself, the nerd part.
Oh yeah. I own up to it.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of stats for you, my friend.
Well, you've got a lot of stats this episode.
Yeah. Once you lean into it, man, it's fine. It's all right. It becomes easier.
Okay.
A lot to talk about. We had a lot of rain in Spa. Shocker. And
you had a premonition in the last episode. You told everyone to bring their ponchos, and boy, yes. did they need their ponchos.
You know, it becomes this kind of inside joke. Spa has this microclimate because obviously I have my app set to Spa for the weekend, my weather app, and on each day the rain came at a complete different time than it was supposed to. So basically, you can't even look at the radars. You think like, oh, F1 teams have great equipment and stuff, but Spa is one of those where if it's there, it'll just show up when it shows up. You just got to stick your hand out.
Yeah. Is it raining or is it not?
It's raining at one part of the track.
They just send the intern to the other end of the track.
In a poncho. Did you see that Ferrari versus Red Bull PR war this weekend?
You know, I didn't catch that. I did not.
We only had one free practice session this weekend because it was sprint weekend, and there was, you know, in the VIP section of Red Bull, you have a few VIPs that are standing there behind the cars in the garage, and one lady had a black Ferrari hat, and Christian Horner came up with some gaffer tape, just taped it right over her hat, and that started a war with Ferrari, that Ferrari was sticking Ferrari stickers on different parts of the building, and it just kind of escalated all weekend. It's pretty fun. It's good banter.
That's funny. It's funny. I mean, who is a PR person to make sure that somebody doesn't enter the Red Bull garage with a Ferrari hat on?
Right? Yeah. I think they need a big little update on the security there.
Did someone lost their job? Helmut Marko, where are you at? Did you fire her?
Well, it's been a few days. She's probably out of a job.
We just don't hear about that one.
Oh man, yeah. So we had a lot of rain as well. I think let's roll that intro and get into it.
A question for all of you except Romain Grosjean.
To whom it may concern, fuck you.
More ladies in the paddock? Yeah, more paddock access to some women. There's too many dudes.
I don't really have a lot to comment on that, except that he was being a pussy.
Okay, we need to talk about the sprint. A lot of people, I don't know, I feel like the sprint is dividing a lot of the F1 community, but it's growing on me. I don't know what you think, but I feel like having a Saturday that's kind of separate from everything is a whole different show in itself.
When you say community, or who are you referring to? Are you talking about the drivers and their teams? Are you talking about fans? Are you talking about everyone as a whole? Like
the whole thing. I feel some drivers are into it. Some drivers a little less so. Like I think Lewis, you mentioned a couple of times, Lewis is really like he enjoys the racing part. He enjoys the novelty. But Max, for example, thinks that it's gimmicky.
Yeah, well, that would make sense for Max, honestly. I don't know.
Yeah. And it's one more way for him to fuck up, you know, when he has the best car. It's like, oh, you can have problems in it. And other drivers like, oh, we can make up points.
But. Yeah, I guess when you're, I'd be interested to see if Lewis was leading the charge, if he would have the same opinion on the sprint as he does right now. But as a Lewis fan, I'm not gonna support that, and I'm just gonna say Max, stop being a pussy.
This could go in favor of all you Lewis fans out there. In terms of Max breaking his records, because it is very possible that Max retires earlier because of the way his view of F1 and him not liking where the sport is going. So who knows? Maybe he'll be tied at 7 titles and he won't break Lewis's record. So, and you'll know what it feels like to be a Schumacher fan.
Wow, that's some tinfoil hat shit right there.
Oh, you know, I've got a lot of free time on weekends, apparently.
Yeah, just looking up weird things that may or may not happen and then bringing them into the episodes.
All right, yeah, I've already admitted I was a nerd, right? So let's leave it at that. So sprint, well, it's no surprise. Max won again. He won the sprint.
He did.
Max has now won the last 10 race formats, so sprint included. That means he's unbeaten. Checo hasn't been able to sneak in a little sprint win even since Baku on April 30th. That's like three months. Yeah.
Jeez.
May, June, yeah, I mean, that's more than 3 months.
I really, really thought we'd see... It, just in the sprint, I wasn't very confident about the race itself, but at least in the sprint, I was really hoping we'd see the McLaren take P1. But yeah, you could see Max he even asked on the radio at one point in the sprint, and he's like, "How many laps do we have left?" And then everyone's just like, "Oh, okay, yeah, he knows he's got this."
Yeah, so we had a safety car start in the sprint. Half the grid went in on lap one for intermediate tires because the wet tires are pretty much useless. Max stayed out, and we all thought, "Oh my god, here it is! Someone else is going to win." But it literally took Max, I think, a lap or two to catch
up.
Yeah, with Piastri, who officially led a race format. I can't say a Grand Prix yet because it's a weird sprint race, but he officially led a session for the first time and ended up finishing P2, not too far behind Max. And honestly, I think that we've seen this trend in the last few races. Piastri's here, man. I think you were giving me shit for the Lady Gaga reference last episode, A Star Is Born, but
yep,
he really is, man, and he can handle it up at the front.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think... He got screwed by the safety car after after he pit for the inters, but
that's right.
And Max was pulling some Abu Dhabi 2021 shit. I was a little bit like, yeah, don't Ryan, don't get triggered. But
you're doing it to yourself.
Yeah, dude. I have to. It's never gonna leave. It should be like an F1.
What are you referring to, though? Yeah.
Oh, I just mean just on the restart. You know, he's really like pulling up to the almost to like the cockpit. You know, his front wheel was almost at the cockpit at one point of Oscar. Max was, and I think Oscar Max is very good at restarts, like rolling restarts. We have to admit
he's the best I've ever seen.
His reaction time is absurd to whoever's in front of him. So, but yeah, man, Oscar Piastri, obviously didn't had a DNF in the end on Sunday in the race. What a weekend for the guy, really. And I think, to put the car 11/100ths behind Max, I think Max should be
in sprint qualifying.
In sprint qualifying, Max, I think, I don't know. We'll see how this goes. We'll see how the summer break is. But there's definitely a little bit of like, I think, nerves on Max after that happened. He's like, oh, I am touchable. Actually, never mind. Max is not touchable. I mean, what I meant is,
that's clippable.
Yeah, yeah. What I meant is, Max is, Max is he's feeling a little bit of pressure. I think he finally is.
He's within reach on one lap, but I think he's so confident in the race that I'm not sure how much of the pressure he's feeling. But it is showing. It is showing that this convergence of the regs with Red Bull having to focus on next year and all these teams really going flat out in development for this year. So we will see. Hopefully we will see another team at the front maybe winning before the end of the year. We did have a bit of a surprise here in sprint qualifying. Gasly P3, who really drove a beautiful sprint after that first round of pit stops. And much needed result. We'll get into Alpine later, but they had a bit of a weekend, and not in the most positive way, with a bit of a management crisis.
Ooh, yeah, spicy,
very spicy. Well, actually, let's mention it because we're gonna go deeper into it in our summer episodes. But they basically decided to reshuffle the whole thing. Laurent Rossi's now been sent to special projects, which basically means. Here's a room with a computer and you can redesign your CV for the next few months because we're about to fire you as well. And they fired Otmar and Pramain, who's been there for 34 years. So, yeah, I'm not sure what's going on there, but it doesn't look positive. It doesn't seem like they've got the right structure, the right people, and it just seems like they're making decisions with emotions. Which, hey, I'm used to that at Ferrari, but yeah.
I was going to say, Gasly putting it in P3 in the sprint was, I think, everything that team needed. Well, not everything. They could have, I think, seen a better result in the race, but definitely a result that they would want. And I think, yeah, like you said, we're going to get into this more on another episode, but if there's one team who's in crisis right now, it's Alpine. More so than any other team.
Oh, yeah. But much needed results. Another driver that really needed a result was Checo Perez. And the sprint didn't go too well for him. A bit of an incident with Hamilton, which resulted in Hamilton getting a penalty, 5-second penalty, which dropped him from 4th to 7th. Hamilton was having a pretty decent sprint. And actually, he was on it in sprint qualifying to maybe be up there with Piastri and with Max, but someone got in the way on his lap, and that someone is his teammate. It's not the first time this happens. Russell had an appalling weekend, like really, really bad. And they Merck did a good job of playing that down, but I know that internally that's no good what no. Russell was doing. Yeah.
But I want to address that penalty real quick. I think, I don't understand. I think in the sprint, there has to be more leniency, since you're really pushing the car more so than you would. I mean, more so than you would in a race format, and I just to hand out a 5-second penalty like that. I think for anyone, it doesn't matter if it was. And, you know, if Checo had done the same thing, if it had been Checo in Lewis's shoes, I wouldn't have agreed with the penalty either. I just think it makes no sense. And again, you know, here we are once again talking about the consistency of the stewards who seem to be, they seem to have a gromo in them every weekend, quite frankly.
Yeah, if we could put them up for Grumo, we'd get the points a lot of the times.
Oh yeah. But yeah, anyway, yeah. I don't agree with the penalty. I think the sprint format, there needs to be a different assessment of how penalties are given in sprint. Given the actual format that's happening.
Yeah, because the drivers, it's designed to go flat out, right? And if you're gonna dish out penalties like that, are drivers gonna take risks anymore? Probably not, right?
Right.
Because there are some pretty decent points up for grabs, and Hamilton overtaking one car getting those extra points for that, it's not worth risking the 5-second penalty, because in a sprint race, the 5 seconds will drop you a few places, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I agree with you. That was bullshit and unfortunate for Checo, because he definitely didn't need that.
No.
And he was not to blame either. I'm not saying that, but it just, that was unfortunate. But he was struggling though during the sprint. Moving on to the race now, we had a dry race, a little bit of rain during, and we also had a different grid for that, because the grid is set on Fridays for that. And the results is pretty much what everyone expected. Max actually had a 5-grid spot penalty for changing a gearbox. And I don't know if you remember, last year he started in 14th here and was leading the race, I think, by lap 12. Yeah. This year he started in P6, and it took him, check this out, it took him 17 laps to get the lead.
17?
Yeah.
Wow, a lot. A whole 17 laps.
Yeah, some might say he's slipping.
Yeah. Watch out.
Obviously, I'm kidding, because he dominated that, and the way he made his way through the field. I think he was P4 already by the end of lap one. Obviously, helped out by that little Piastri and Sainz incident there, and yeah, he just ate up his teammate really quickly later, and it didn't even look like a fair fight. He just destroyed him. And this is a driver's track. I love to remind people that this is where you can see drivers making big differences with their teammates. And we saw that with Red Bull. We saw that with Merck. I think we saw that kind of across the grid here.
I was going to get to this later in the episode, but I mean, Lewis taking fastest lap from Max was was really, really welcome. Honestly, I was like, thank God this guy did not take every single point from another weekend. At least take something from him. And
he was pissed at that.
I'm sure he probably went and spoke to his team about, you know, why they didn't pit him for softs or whatever. I don't know, but I'm sure he made some comment. He's like, well, it would have been nice to have fastest lap. But I think it goes to, we saw like all of his radio messages over the weekend with his race engineer, and that's something that I think we should be following for the rest of the season. I mean, let's put it this way. Christian Horner said that they were like, that the two of them are like a married couple, basically, you know, and they bicker and they banter.
It doesn't really bode well for people who are thinking of marriage, right? Is this what marriage is?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, well, if your relationship is like Max and his race engineer, you should probably not get married. It goes back to like an earlier version of Max, where it's like and you have to be a bit arrogant to be an F1 driver. We all know that, but it goes back to who I think he always has been. Like, you've got a team who makes decisions and you are part of that team. And if your race engineer is who's helped you get to the point that you're at, is giving you advice, don't, you know, listen to them. And it goes back to what we were saying in the last episode, where it's like the Ferrari thing, you know, where it's not like they're saying it as a suggestion. You know, it's like, oh, what's your thoughts, Max? It's like, you need to do this because we have the data here to say that this is what's going to work best.
Yeah, Red Bull actually has a system that seems to work really well, clearly. So, but the whole conversations and the whole sarcasm started in qualifying when Max almost missed out on Q2, and he's being very sarcastic. And his engineer said, "You know what? Why don't you just do it the way you want to do it for Q3?" And he calmed down in the end. And maybe it's one of those things where Max is bored and he needs some, you know, he's not getting any on track competition, so he's looking for it inside. I don't know. But yeah, let's keep an eye on that. It is actually pretty entertaining, I think.
Oh, I love it.
I think that at times it might be put on a bit. I think the fact that he's now answering back to Max, that's a new thing, right?
Right. He usually doesn't respond like that. He usually is like, really copy that, Max, or, you know, say again, or, you know, there's never really any like cheeky response. But now he'll take
it on the chin. Yeah.
Yeah. He'll usually be the one who just like sucks it up and doesn't it's like two brothers, you know, who's gonna get the last word in.
Yeah, well, apparently Red Bull's okay with it, so, because usually, you know, we know how quick they are to fire people, but he's good, GP, so I think he'll be there for a minute. Well, Max destroyed everyone, finished 22 seconds ahead. He could have pitted for fastest lap, and he actually was asking for it, but I think the engineers wanted to just play it safe in case there was a safety car. He could have lost out to Checo, who actually finished P2. Checo, second podium in a row. Good for him. I think he needed that as well. But also, when you're starting P1, your teammate's starting P6 at Spa, and you have the fastest car in history, pretty much. On one hand, I think it's a good result for him. But on the other hand, I feel like it might be slightly demoralizing for him to have been beaten so badly by Max.
I think Checo is the victim of one thing, which is Max is driving at a ridiculous level right now. We all know this.
Yes.
So if there were some other drivers in Checo's shoes, it would be similar or even worse. But at the end of the day, Max is, you know, there are certain drivers on the grid who are elite, and Max is one of them. And Checo is an incredible driver, but I hate to say this, and I'm probably going to get some shit from some Checo fans for this, but he can't bring it to Max. If you're in the same equipment and you can't be challenging your teammate, that's kind of what it says.
Yeah, I think it's one of the only driver pairings where you know what's going to happen, basically, at that team. This race weekend completely illustrates that point, is that Checo is only there to get the scraps. And if he's okay with that, and I say this with, like, it's not a burn or anything, it's a fact. Max is a legend. He might go down in a few years as the greatest of all time. Some people are already arguing for that now, which I think there is a case. But if you're Checo and you're looking at yourself in the mirror, is there much more you can do? Probably not, honestly. And good luck to whoever gets this seat in the future. I mean, probably one of the biggest feats if someone could beat Max in his own team, because it is the Max show, as you said. Like, he's molded the team around him for the last 7 years.
Right? Danny Rick wants that smoke again. I mean, he tried it once.
I think Danny Rick should, yeah, prove yourself at AlphaTauri and look for another seat somewhere else. Ferrari.
I don't think I would. If I were a driver, I wouldn't want that second seat at Red Bull. I really wouldn't.
No. Honestly, I think Red Bull should just put a rookie with him so that he can learn, so it doesn't look as bad.
Yeah, something like that.
Well, yeah, maybe we can get into that a bit deeper in the summer break, but it's the Max show again. Ferrari got some scraps as well this weekend. Leclerc inherited pole after the Max penalty, but he only held the lead for the first three quarters. He was overtaken by Checo by turn three. So that was us, but
we knew that wasn't going to hold up. Right?
Right. I thought maybe a lap.
Someone, like, if there's any Ferrari fan out in the world who thought that Ferrari could hold on to that lead, you are delusional. And you should probably step.
Well, I might have been one of those who thought we could get one lap in, just for the records. Just,
oh yeah,
for Leclerc the record led books. A okay. lap at Spa, but he led three corners. He led through Eau Rouge. I'll take it. Actually, Ferrari had a really decent weekend. On pace, second on pace the whole weekend, pretty much, except for the sprint where their setup was more geared towards the dry, and they executed the race perfectly. This race is one of those where I have nothing to say about strategy. They did it really well. The only thing I'll say is that Sainz at the start, maybe that could have been avoided.
Yeah, not a great showing from Carlos. Not smooth operating from him.
Not so smooth, yeah. So we had both Ferraris in the top three, or top five, I think. And Sainz locked up trying to avoid Hamilton and kind of made his way back onto the racing line to the middle. And Piastri was already committed to the inside, and T1 at Spa, if you look at it, it's super tight. And if you're turning, like if someone's there, you're basically, there's no room for them to go. There's a wall. And at first, when I saw it live, I was like, ooh, Piastri fucked up there. But then when you look at it again, I think Sainz could have done more to avoid that. And the fact that Sainz is going around, you know, shouting, oh yeah, Piastri, it's maybe just an experience. He did that. I was like, I think he's trying a bit too hard to hide that he could have avoided that as well. That's my take on it.
Carlos is in a really weird position right now where he's not the golden boy like Charles is. And, you know, I think that's put a lot of pressure on him. I think also he's with that, it's caused a lot of frustration. I think both drivers are obviously shown their frustration this season. And so I think he just tried to send it a little too hard. And frankly, it didn't, that happens. It was in the end, it was a racing incident, right? On the start.
Yeah.
That happens. But, you know, is it worth it to do that on the first lap and then you DNF? Probably not.
No, because he had the potential to fight for P3. Leclerc got P3 in the end. Best of the rest. He could have gotten a P4, easy P4 from that. But yeah, I think let's move on. Good thing the summer break is there for him. He probably needs that to cool off a bit. What do we have behind the Ferraris? Yeah, Mercedes, P4 and P6. Not the best weekend, I think, for Merck operationally, as we discussed the whole qualifying mishap there. Even though Hamilton had the pace, they didn't utilize it. But in the end, it's a pretty decent result for Hamilton. Not much more you can do on this track when you have the two Red Bulls and Ferrari. Like I would have said, if everyone finished, he would have gotten P5 behind Sainz. But yeah, pretty good result for Hamilton, I'd say. Not more you can get. Russell, once again, we'll call it a recovery drive because he didn't start at the front for the race. And yeah, I guess he made up for getting in the way of Hamilton in sprint qualifying. But yeah, I just think I get out of this weekend thinking Mercedes, okay, they got solid points for P2 in the constructors, but it just feels subpar for me.
I think George is a story. I think Lewis, yeah. I think Lewis had a decent weekend. I mean, the penalty aside, you know, he still finished in the points in the sprint and he finished P4. You know,
true.
You know how I feel about the penalty. George, on the other hand, I mean, what the hell is going on with that dude?
Yeah. I didn't think we'd get to this point, but George is on the list of needs a result now. And
ooh,
I'm not saying he's feeling the heat. Yeah, he's not feeling the heat, but he's on that list. He's clearly on the list of he needs a summer break. Because yeah. Lewis has taken charge at Mercedes, clearly. And for all of you,
it's always been his team.
It's always been his team. Absolutely. But last year, you know, I think last year was skewed by the fact that it was such a surprise that they were doing so poorly, that Lewis was trying so many experimental setups at the beginning of the year. And it made George look better because he was getting those, you know, P5s, P6s when Lewis was kind of struggling. But as soon as Lewis started going the more, you know, conventional setup route, he took over like second part of the season. And even though Russell had that win last year, if it wasn't for that last run, Hamilton would have been on pole in Brazil, and it could have been, you know, it could have been a whole different narrative, right? So this year, I think you're seeing the continuation of what we saw in the second half. I think Hamilton's motivation is back, and I think Russell is struggling to keep up with it a bit.
Yeah, no, I mean, and this has always been a thing. I mean, you know, I think, dare I quote Nico Rosberg, but he's like being being you want to talk about being Max's teammate, being Lewis's teammate is equally, if not more, difficult, especially when he's in good form and he's got the car underneath him. So
oh yeah,
you know, Lewis has been super consistent in the last few races, you know, and I think George knows that. And I mean, just that incident in qualifying was like, come on, man.
It was stupid. So for those of you who didn't see it, at Spa first, so basically at the end, all the drivers are going, there was not much time left on the clock. That's when you see all people overtaking each other and fucking each other up. A Mercedes thought that there was no time for their drivers to go through, but they ended up going through, and George locked up at turn one, which meant that Lewis got super close into Eau Rouge, huge slipstream, and he had to go on the wet side to overtake him. If you're George at this point, you know you fucked up your lap. Why do you have to fuck up your teammate's lap?
Get out of the way.
Like, yeah.
Ludacris said it. Move, bitch. Get out the way.
Like, ooh, that needs to be a jingle, my friend.
I was kind of shocked that Lewis didn't like put his hands up as that happened, you know, but
he did a little bit, but I think that because of the position they're in now, he's downplaying it. But if they were fighting for the lead, you know, if they're fighting for pole, he would have made a way bigger deal out of
it. I agree. Yeah, you're definitely right about that. But I don't know, I just kind of came back. Or not came back, but really downplayed it as if it wasn't an issue, and it's kind of like
officially there isn't an issue yet. But if those drivers have a winning car, oof.
Oh, it's going to be they're going to have an issue on their hands.
Yeah. Although I do think that if you're a Lewis fan, I'm liking what I'm seeing this season. He's the motivation is there, and you can clearly tell he wants to be at the front again, and he can be at the front again. And
yeah,
that's pretty positive. What's not so positive was Aston Martin's sprint race with both drivers just being all over the place. We even saw Alonso crash out. And at that point, you're like, ooh, shit, I think we've seen Aston Martin's now clearly going down after the last few races. But Alonso in the race had a really, if you want to talk about a recovery drive, I think Alonso for me was the driver of the day. Bringing in P5 on a fast track, which doesn't really suit their car. He was there, kind of a clean race. Didn't really hear about him the whole time, but he was there.
No, I mean, Aston Martin... I will never that moment when Fernando said that they're going to finish on the podium in every race since he hasn't finished on the podium since.
Yeah. Famous last words.
Famous last words. Aston Martin. I mean, I think another team that needs a summer break to really like figure out what the hell's going on. Lawrence Stroll, no one's getting time off this summer break.
Well, technically they have to take time off. There's a specific amount of time. It's a bit of a truce between all the teams, I mean, and in which like you're saying we're giving the engineers time off, but you know that the engineers in their time off have their personal computer and they're doing research and they're like they're not at the family barbecue. They're the ones like inside being like, oh, I got an idea.
Yeah.
And
Lawrence is really going to like this idea, guys. I promise.
Jesus, yeah. Aston Martin is coming back with some upgrades for Zandvoort, which is the first race out of the summer break. And they did say, they admitted that they went a wrong direction with their big Canada upgrade. And they've understood why. So don't think we've seen the last of them this year. They might not be the clear P2, but I think we'll have a good fight for the rest of the season between them, Merck, and potentially McLaren.
I mean, yeah. And McLaren's really, I think, the story, the team of the moment right now, right?
Right. Weren't you a little bit disappointed, though, this weekend?
I was. I thought they didn't maximize results. I thought that they could have been much better this weekend. But, you know, that could also, the conditions this weekend were absolutely, they were nuts. You know, and I think they fell victim to that in the end.
Yeah, they had a good sprint. I think Norris got caught out with having to pit at the wrong time and didn't work in his favor. Otherwise, he would have been up there as well. And they set up their car with more downforce, aka for more rain on Sunday, which didn't really come. There was a brief window of rain, but no one put the intermediates. They all stayed out on slick tires. And I don't know if you remember, but during that time, Norris was actually lighting up the track. He was the fastest because he had the car set up for those conditions. I still believe the hype of McLaren. I just think that, you know, after two or three great race weekends, a bit less impressive, but they're still there. What's going on in the midfield? You said that Alpine had a big result in the sprints. Gasly got caught out by Piastri, actually, at the start of the race. I don't know if you remember, Piastri was going up Eau Rouge with a damaged car, and Gasly was literally going like 60 miles an hour behind him, and he was stuck. All the cars were passing him on the right, and that compromised his race. But Ocon put in some really good moves in the race and got some solid points for the team.
With all the stuff happening on the back end with Alpine this weekend, you know, administratively and with management, I think the drivers did a great job to block all that shit out and just get in the car and drive. Yeah, and you gotta give them props for that.
They got some good points. They got 10 points. So behind, now we have to call them the top five. Alpine is clearly there, picking up whenever they can. And not a bad result for them. We had some good moves. As I said, Ocon had a really good overtake on Yuki, and Yuki had a really good race as well. He put in some moves also on, and one on Gasly actually during the race. Yuki, I think a lot of the attention is focused on Danny Ric this weekend, who had a pretty decent sprint. Not so much the race, but Yuki is putting in some really solid performances this year.
Yeah, I think very quietly too.
Yeah, I think that's what he needs to do, impress Red Bull in case, you know, because he has that outside shot of getting that seat. Although, since Honda is now leaving, I'm not sure how much.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, politically, I don't know how that's going to work. But I mean,
but if he's fast, he's fast, right? And he's a Red Bull Junior, so that's what they want.
I think Danny Ric. I think I'm going to give him a little bit, like another race or two, to see how he gets up to speed. You know, we're going to the summer break. I think that'll give him some time to just reflect on first two races back with the team. But yeah, Yuki, we've kind of always said this about Yuki. He needs to just have a quiet weekend and get some points. And he's done that. You know, he hasn't really made,
he got a point. Yes.
Yeah. Mm. A single point. But you know, at this point,
which is huge for AlphaTauri.
Yeah, no, it is. And cause they've arguably been the worst team on the grid this year. So, you know, at the end of the day for Danny Ric, he just got to come back and bring it to Yuki. And I think he's got the experience to do that, but he also needs to know that Yuki's been with the car as shitty as this car has been throughout the season. Yuki's managed to, I think, do pretty well with it.
There's definitely a solid driver to go up against for Danny Ric to see where he's at. And I'm not going to give my final take after two races on Danny Ric. I think he's got, it's good that he got those two races in before the summer break, and then he could take a break, although he probably would have loved to, to keep racing. But yeah, we'll, as we said, we'll see in Abu Dhabi what that's how he is, because I think he has it in him to put in similar performances to Yuki, if not maybe a little bit better. So we'll see. In terms of the rest of the field, I think Haas was a disaster this weekend.
Yikes.
Like Hulk, who really does well in qualifying, they didn't even send him out in both qualifying sessions for the race and the sprint. Kind of feel for Haas right now. They're hurting right now. Let's see, P15 and P18 for the drivers. And Williams, I was expecting so much from Williams, but I think the rain hampered their plan, because usually they're a rocket ship in Sector 1 and 3. Just the conditions didn't allow that this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I thought we'd see a little bit more from Albon. He tends to do well in sprint format as well. But yeah, just generally disappointing result for Williams this weekend. You know, they're still lacking consistency, and it's pretty obvious.
I'll tell you what, the next race is in Urkerland in Zandvoort, but then we've got Italy, Monza. And in Monza, Albon is praying for beautiful sunny conditions, because he could really do something there, I think.
Yeah, Monza, where the most disorganized sporting event I've ever been to in my entire fucking life. honest to God. Hopefully not so disorganized on track.
Yeah, we can have that as part of our pre-Monza episode in a few weeks. But yeah, Alfa Romeo also, not much to report. P12, P13, they're in the heart of that back midfield there. They also need updates. I don't know what the team's doing there. We'll see after the summer break, but not much to report there. But in our Stan Championship, my friend, there has been some movement.
Oh, man, you cleaned up. Damn.
I don't know if you remember, you actually called Leclerc for pole, and then you went back on it.
I know.
Never doubt, because that would have been hilarious. But in any case, you got points for Verstappen win, and I got points for Verstappen, Perez, and Hamilton in P4. You had like a 40-point lead, which is now down to 14. So you're leading with 203 to my 189. Nice. We've got ourselves a championship, my friend.
I'm very impressed by let's not call it a comeback yet, but at one point you were 60 points behind, and now you're a cheeky 14.
I'm going to stay humble, because this is when, if I start talking shit here, this is when I start losing out big points next year races. So yeah, I'll enjoy it.
we'll see how the amount of Dutch people that I've been, like, we've been driving through France, the amount of Dutch people that are on the highways and who, like, don't know how to use turn signals, it's just absolutely nuts. It's crazy. It's shocking that they produced a driver as good as Max Verstappen. Whoops.
Well, yeah. Max, oh, hey, by the way, Max is getting back-to-back home races here. He's finishing with Spa, and then we go back to Zandvoort.
Just what he needs. Yeah. Just what he needs.
Obviously, more records to be broken at his home race, but we'll get into that. We have a few weeks to get into that.
What a weekend in Spa. It was a lot of action, a lot of drama, but you know, I think that wraps it up for us on that end.
Yeah, first half of the season is done. The teams take a little break, but at the grandstand, we'll continue to look at a few off-track stories, dive into some Alpine stuff, maybe see how we can solve the Ferrari crisis again. But yeah, stay tuned for more episodes. We're not going anywhere. We'll be here. Give us a follow on social media at the Grandstand F1. Give us the 5-star reviews wherever you listen to podcasts. And don't go too far. We're not taking a break, so tune in for more episodes.